From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. It's the second hour of the show. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I love Fridays so much. Fridays are a blast. I hope you guys are enjoying listening as much as we are enjoying talking at you. As always, you can text us on the text line 888-973-5476. Also, check out the podcast, Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim. You can download that anywhere you get your podcast. It's free. It's really great. We post a bunch of stuff there. It's a lot of fun. And we also post a bunch of stuff on our social media pages. You can check those out. It's all very family-friendly and nice stuff. It's nice, uplifting stuff, which is what we're shooting for here on this show. All right. This is one of my favorite times of the night because we get to look back on all the other shows that precede us. I don't know if you knew this, but there are other shows ahead of us. It's okay if you didn't know that. I'm happy to welcome you into the Cairo fold. Seattle's Morning News, G and Ursula, Jack and Spike, John and Sherry, and then, of course, that is all prelude to the primetime show that you're listening to right now, which is from 7 to 10. Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim. So, on all the other shows, we just like dip in, we check out and see what they were talking about, and then it gives us a chance to talk about those things as well. All right, on Seattle's Morning News, Colleen O'Brien talks with a former Cairo Radio contributor, Rachel Bell, who I used to work with for many, many years. I'm excited to hear what they're talking about. Let's hear it.
We invited a familiar voice back on the show. Here in Seattle, a city famous for coffee, we have grown accustomed to that ubiquitous little heart swirled into the foam of our lattes. You recognize her? Rachel Bell. Since leaving Cairo News Radio about a year and a half ago to pursue other adventures, Rachel has found a home at Cascade PBS. She is still the local voice for local food, including her James Beard Award-nominated podcast, Your Last Meal, and just launched her brand new TV series, The Nosh. When Rachel joined us on Seattle's Morning News, we asked her more about her show.
It's a storytelling show, and we explore nature and art and community and different trends all through the lens of food and drink. So to me, it feels like all of the work that I've done all of these years when I was a feature reporter on Cairo and doing the podcast, I'm interviewing people, I'm storytelling, but now my face for radio is on the TV.
Oh, whatever, whatever. And we love it. You heard me say, oh, whatever. And she had some thoughts, actually, on being a 44-year-old woman just now starting her TV career.
It's very interesting. I feel like a lot of people start in TV or in entertainment, visual entertainment, when they're younger. And so I'm 44, and I just think it's a little bit interesting. I went to Sephora and got a makeup lesson because I realized I've been doing my makeup the same way since high school. So yeah. I'm going to figure that out. And yeah, there's things I've thought about as far as, you know, we live in a country that can not be the nicest to the aging process of women on TV. And the thing that I've done just mentally is to channel Julia Child.
Julie Child herself was just a real phenomenon. I was going to say, I'm not making a joke about Julie Child's look. I love Julie Child. She was great. And she had some great stuff about chickens. And if you really wanted to learn how to cook, then Julie Child's a great place to start. She had the French, what was her book called? It was called The French Chef's, the American French, I don't know what it was, Julie Child something. Well, that's exciting. Good job for Rachel Bell. That's exciting. We will eagerly tune in and learn about food. It also reminds me that Julia Child, have you guys seen that movie called Julia and Julia? Is that right? It's about that woman who wrote a blog about Julia Child, and then they made a movie out of it. Well, it's a good movie, and you should check it out. I don't have much to say about this, obviously, so let's move on. G and Ursula, does it annoy you when your friends go heavy on the PDA? Oh, this is a good one.
I did not want to go and meet up with someone because this couple, they are at the table, Ursula, and they are constantly between conversations. So, yeah. So, gee, everything. Just constant. So much so, one time, man, look, this is when I was done. It's four of us. We're at the table. They're sitting the two across from them. It's me and Lillian there. We're sitting there, and he says, "Hey, we gotta go go smoke real quick. Y'all don't mind, do you?"
Oh,
and I'm like,
brother.
"Sure, go ahead. No, not at all." So they leave the table to go outside so they could go smoke.
I'm going to pause it here really fast. I noticed this the other day. I don't know what. There's something in the air. That's not even a dumb pun. There's some smoke in the air. I noticed that people are smoking more than I expected that they would be smoking. Like I grew up in an era where they kind of stopped smoking. People just did not smoke as much as they used to. When I was a kid, for instance, everybody that I saw out in the real world would have a cigarette in their mouth. Not everyone, but my parents didn't smoke, but I knew a lot of people who smoked. Like for a short time when I was a kid, my grandpa smoked, and I always thought like, oh my gosh, that's crazy that he's smoking. And then he eventually quit, and it was great that he quit. But lately, I have noticed down here in Seattle, when I see people on the street, when I'm driving by or I'm just like walking to my car after work, there's a bunch of like young people outside smoking. Young people are still smoking. And I thought that young people stopped smoking. I thought everybody gave that up. I thought everybody shifted over to, what are they? What is the things that everyone's always puffing on? Vapes. I thought people all shifted over to vapes. And that was supposed to be a thing that saved everyone from smoking. But no, I'm seeing lots of cigarettes these days. I don't know if anecdotally you guys are seeing the same thing, but I'm seeing a lot of people smoking cigarettes. And it's always surprising to me because I find it so gross. I just find it so disgusting when somebody smokes and then I see them right afterwards. Like I work with a couple of people here who after I see them smoke, I'm always like, would you like some gum? Because it is just such an unpleasant, and it's not like they're unaware of it. They're also chewing gum all the time. They know that it's not pleasant. So I'm surprised that people are still smoking so much.
And then
I thought it was smoke was a word for something else.
No, I'm going to go smoke some weed.
Oh, okay.
Oh, he's talking about weed. Okay, I thought he was talking about cigarettes. Yeah, people smoking a lot more weed. Well, ever since it became legal and people could buy it everywhere, then you can just, people are smoking all the time. I'm driving down the road all the time in the city. It doesn't happen as much up in my neck of the woods in Snohomish County, but I'm driving around. I got my windows open on a nice day. Just that smell. You know what I'm talking about? That like wafty smell that somewhere nearby, somebody's smoking some weed. Isn't that funny that that's a thing now? And we don't even think about it. Like back in the day when I was growing up, I sound old saying that, when I was growing up, if you smelled somebody smoking weed, you went, oh, watch out for the police. They're going to get you. And now, totally legal. Nobody even cares about it. Nobody thinks about it. So people are smoking weed all the time.
Yeah, they went to go smoke. So anyway, they go out there, smoke. They're gone for like 7 or 8 minutes. And Lily and I are just sitting here at the table. And I'm thinking to myself, like, this is the most rudest thing that I've ever been a part of. And then when you come back to the table, you're back to doing the, if that's the case, don't go to dinner with nobody. Just go by yourselves. Great. And go get you in a booth and y'all just sit there and do your thing. But if you're gonna have, by the way, if you guys are hearing like, man, this G's worked up about this, because I am. Some of y'all have no social awareness.
I always question PDA, like public displays of affection, by the way, if anybody doesn't know that acronym. I'm always confused by it because it's not something like my natural inclination is not to go out there and get people to look at me. But I feel like if you're out in public and you start making out or you're going hot and heavy or you're necking, is that what people are doing these days? They necking. If there's people necking near me, you just can't help but look. There's just something you just kind of go, well, that's something that I'm not expecting them to be doing out in public. That's kind of a private thing. Should be between two folks in private. But when people do it in public, I almost wonder, I think probably what's happening is either one, they're drunk, which happens, whatever. Everyone's been a part of that. Yes, everyone's done that when they're younger and maybe when they're older. But when people are out there and they're going at it in public, not like going at it, but you know what I mean? Like they're making out or they're whatever they're doing. I wonder how much of it is because they like people watching them. Like that's the thing that I think about when I'm on the rare occasions these days when I can sneak away from the house and my wife and I can actually go and have a date somewhere. We're not usually at the kind of place where a bunch of young people are making out. because we go to restaurants. We're not sitting out there at some bars in like a hip part of Seattle. That phase is behind us. Now we prefer to be in a nice restaurant or a nice bar. We like being in nice bars too, but again, not a lot of loud, you know, dancing music happening. But let's say you're in a dancing music type place or you see people making out. Do you think it's because they have kind of a, like a, they want to be seen, kind of a fetish? Like it's exciting and it makes it kind of dangerous because they're out in public and they feel like they're doing something that they shouldn't be doing and they're making out. And how much of it is that? Like if nobody's watching them, would they still be making out? I don't know. I mean, it's all that's great. Don't get me wrong. I'm a big fan of, you know, all that kind of connection with my wife, but that happens in private. I'm like not a person who does that a lot in public because I don't want people looking at me. I find it odd and I find it weird. I don't like the attention. And so for people who go out there and draw this kind of attention, it feels like to me like they're waving a flag like, hey, look over here, look over here. And then that says to me something about that person that I don't like. And I, you know, when I seek out these people, these individuals who have to have that attention on them. Now, I'm saying all this as a person whose job it is to try to get attention on the radio. But it's a different thing because I'm not asking you to look at my face. And I'm not asking you to, like, watch me make out or neck or whatever kids are doing these days. I'm just sitting here trying to entertain you with stories. All right, so we don't like PDA. You might like PDA. I don't like it. Hit me up on the text line if you like it. 888-973-5476. But do not send any pictures. Thank you very much. All right, Jack and Spike, they were talking about rock and roll. Let's hear about it.
Sunday, during Sunday's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame night with Ryan Seacrest. We have the same agent. Hooray, Ryan. He never calls me back.
Ryan or our agent?
Both.
Okay, fair enough.
Lionel Richie was there, too. They revealed that Mary J. Blige, Cher, Dave Matthews Band, Foreigner, Peter Frampton, Kool & the Gang, Ozzy Osbourne, and A Tribe Called Quest are being inducted into the performer category, which is great for, here's my hot take on this, not Mary J., not Cher, Dave Matthews Band, yes. Foreigner, yes. Peter Frampton, yes. Kool & the Gang, yes. Ozzy, yes. A Tribe Called Quest, yes. So basically, I'm a misogynist all over again, I guess. I guess that where this is what this is proving,
okay,
right?
Okay, you don't like the female acts, okay?
Well, okay, so Mary J. Blige is a phenomenal singer. Okay. She's got a couple of jams. I'm not coming, she doesn't belong in the Rock and Roll of Fame. I'm sorry, she just doesn't. She's not that big of a star, right?
Okay. Last year, Chaka Khan got in. Is Mary J. Blige not at least, or do you think that also is an overreach?
Chaka Khan, I'm okay with that because she can play drums, right? Sure. I mean, so, okay. But then you've got Cher, who is not, she's not really. There's not really like a rock and roll or even impactful in any way, shape, or form other than being kind of a proto pop diva.
Do you think the 50 plus year careers merits?
She hasn't. When was the last time she put out a record? 30 years ago?
No, I think, was it, oh, Do You Believe in Life After Love was what, 20
30 years,
20
ago?
Years ago?
That was going to be 25, 30 okay. years ago.
You know what's interesting about Cher? I think I probably held the same opinion about Cher until my wife and my mother-in-law went to, a couple years back, Cher came to Seattle. She was doing a big concert here. And I don't know what the concert was, but she was doing a big concert tour. My mother-in-law and my wife go to the Cher concert. And I think it was more for my mother-in-law than for my wife, because obviously Cher was a bit before our time. They came back from that like they had just gone to some sort of a you know, big church service. They were just like, they had been moved by the spirit of Cher. They loved it. They were like, oh my gosh, she was amazing. What an amazing show. So, you know, she like, do I listen to a lot of Cher? No. Is she my cup of tea? No. But can I, you know, can I understand why people get really excited about Cher, why she might be in the Hall of Fame? Yeah, I get it. Dave Matthews Band. I was a huge Dave Matthews fan back in college. Like everybody, just that time of life where you're like thinking about romance and you're like, especially growing up here in Seattle, I just love Dave Matthews Band. So good. Oh yeah, listen to that. You've got your ball, you got your chain tied to me, tight, tie me up again. Who's got the claws in you, my friend? To your heart, heart beat again, sweet like candy to my soul. I feel like I owe Dave Matthews some money. I don't know if he's still local here in any way. Or if he probably still has a house here, I imagine. I put him on so many mixes And I know I wasn't like, I wasn't paying for those songs, if I'm being honest. I didn't, maybe the first time I downloaded it, I paid for it, but I did not continue paying for it. Oh my gosh, it's still so good. It's still so good. And I come into you. I can't spend the whole time listening to Dave Matthews, although I could. It's that good. I can't spend the whole time listening to Dave, though. All right, let's play some John and Sherry. John and Sherry had a good clip here. Lego, the company, has asked a California police department, apparently, to stop using their their little Lego figures. What's this about?
California Police Department says, okay, all right, Lego, okay, we won't use your Legos anymore. They passed a law a number of years ago that you're not allowed, unless it's a violent crime, you're not allowed to put the face up of the individual, even if they're convicted. Arrested, like mugshots or something.
If they're
like,
suspects, that you can't put their mugshot. I mean, if they've just been arrested, but they haven't been found guilty yet, and it's a nonviolent crime, you cannot put their headshots or their mugshots up there.
And I think this started a while ago, and they said, well, we don't want to, you know, stereotype people, and, you know, we don't want to always show the person's face, because then everybody's going to go, oh, those people are committing those crimes. We don't want to show those guys. So they used to not show, and then I guess they said, well, we got to show something. They'd have a mugshot where they'd have like a lineup of a bunch of guys, and they would just put the Lego smiley faces or sad faces or happy faces on these, covering up their face. You couldn't see who they were. And I guess Lego got wind of this, like, hey, that's kind of hurting our whole vibe.
I think it's a good idea. That's like a really clever, fun idea. Also, it makes crime kind of fun. Makes you kind of go like, oh, that's fun. You know, Legos. We like Legos.
It, you know, here's this guy arrested, and then there's the smiley face over his face.
Yeah, this is the Murrieta Police Department, and they started using Legos because they thought, oh, well, this will be, you know, a generic thing we can put on the heads or on the bodies of these suspects. But Lego sent them a thing and said, no, you're not going to do that anymore. You're going to stop it.
I guess it makes sense. Like if I had a product and, you know, somebody's suddenly putting it on the head of somebody saying, oh, we've got an arsonist here, or we've got a violent offender in some way. Yeah, I guess that diminishes the fun of your childhood toy if you're associating it with all those horrible things. So all right, I get it. I understand why Lego's asking them. I originally thought they were like saying because they didn't support police. That is not what they're saying. They're just saying they don't want to be associated with all of these horrible crimes, which I tend to agree with, actually. All right, we have a lot more coming up. Next, we're going to have Heather Bosch join us. Heather's going to join us and tell us all about this new plan to release grizzly bears back into the wild. You might have to look out if you're going to be hiking through the woods anytime soon. You may have to start carrying some serious bear spray with you. Heather's going to have all those details coming up next. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights. Satellite.
Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. I have a story that you might love or you might hate. I don't know how you feel about bears. I don't know how you feel about grizzly bears. But we're going to soon see some grizzly bears in the North Cascades. Heather Bosch, Cairo Radio's very own reporter, is here to tell us about a new plan to reintroduce grizzly bears back into our mountains. Is this a good idea, Heather? Tell me about this.
Well, the National Park Service and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service have this plan to reintroduce 3 to 7 grizzlies into the region every year until there's at least a consistent population of 25 grizzly bears in the North Cascades. And the agencies hope that eventually the grizzly population will increase to 200 bears within 60 to 100 years. Washington Congressman Dan Newhouse tells me this is outrageous and misguided.
Primarily, the safety aspect for people, for sure.
He says the large, fast bears that can roam a great distance could threaten lives and livelihoods of people in central Washington.
In that part of the state, there are a lot of livestock operations, fruit orchards, rural communities right up against the habitat that is expected to be where the bears live.
The bears are expected to be fitted with GPS collars, monitored and managed. Grizzlies that threaten humans would be relocated or even killed. Newhouse says people in his district worry that might happen too late.
So if there's a bear mauling or an interaction of that nature, that's what's going to trigger the additional management capabilities. They don't want to get to that point.
But he says this appears to be a done deal, Jake, though no exact start time for reintroducing the bears has been set.
You know, I don't know exactly how I feel about this. I understand why they would want to bring the bears back. Like when I was reading your story this morning, I was reading this and I was thinking, do you know the movie Jurassic Park?
Yeah. Oh, who doesn't?
Yeah. So there's a speech that Jeff Goldblum gives in that where he says, you know, the dinosaurs had their chance. Nature selected that they they're not here anymore. He was an advocate for not having dinosaurs, not reintroducing dinosaurs to the world. That argument really doesn't work here because, one, it's a fictional movie and it's ridiculous. But two, you know, you could make an argument that because of human beings, these bears eventually were kind of pushed out of an area that they would normally be.
Now, remember, humans weren't around when the dinosaurs were around. But apparently grizzlies used to roam freely in the North Cascades. There were thousands of them until they lost habitat and their lives to trappers and hunters and more. Most were gone by the 1860s.
I know. And I as a person who goes out in the woods a lot and I hike a lot with my kids, I do not like this idea.
It is a little scary.
It is scary. But as a person who likes nature and who loves animals, I also like the idea. You know, we watch a lot of nature documentaries in my house because that's very kid friendly. And we watch a lot of stuff about bears and seeing these bears and their natural habitat. It's really, really cool. Yeah. So I kind of like I'm on the fence for sure. All I know is when I was in Montana, like we go to Montana every summer for a few weeks every summer. And we were recently there in Yellowstone, and we decided to take a hike. And we thought, oh, this would be really fun to take a hike. And one of the things that you might notice, have you been to Yellowstone recently?
No, not recently.
So they've probably had these signs up forever, but they, of course, have grizzly bears in Montana.
Yeah.
And they have quite a few of them. And so what they advise you to do anytime you're going to go take a hike or anything is they sell bear spray, like really aggressive looking. And not just like the pepper spray that you and I might carry to ward off weirdos in Seattle.
It's pretty good sized.
It's like a full-on giant hairspray bottle of this very intense. And they're like, listen, if you spray this the wrong way and it gets in your eyes, it'll blind you.
Yes.
It's made because it's like these bears, when they're coming at you, they need a strong deterrent. And this might work. That's not even guaranteeing that it'll work.
The other thing they always recommend you do is you carry bells. Don't be quiet because
to make noise.
To be fair, I know the grizzly bears, they seem big and scary, but they really don't want to be around us any more than we want to be around them.
Unless you stumble into their area.
But if you make noise and let them know, hey, it's me, you know, bear, beware, you are more likely to avoid a bear encounter than if you're very quiet and then suddenly you're on them and then they are suddenly, hey, you're in my territory.
Then their instinct kicks in. They have to react. So we were in Montana. We're about to go on this hike. I've got my in-laws, who are not super fast-moving people because of their age. And so I've got my in-laws. I've got my wife. I've got my little kids who are just tasty morsels for these bears. And we see the sign. We have the bear spray. We have everything we need. But there was something about the reality of seeing that bear sign that says, beware, there are grizzly bears out here, and there is a chance you might run into them. And we made it, like, there's the parking lot, and then we made it, like, 200 feet into the woods, and we went, nope.
We're done.
We did, and we turned around, and we went back to the lodge, and we just sat. We watched the, you know, whatever the Old Faithful. We just drank in the sun, and we watched Old Faithful.
Oh my
That's
goodness.
More my speed than being around grizzly bears.
Years and years ago, my family were hardcore campers. My dad's an old Dutchman. Man, you'd get out there with your tent and your bag and you go out to the wilderness. And one night we're all rolled up in our little tents together and we hear this commotion. Well, they tell you hang the food up in a tree. Don't leave it around your
tent,
right? Don't attract bears and other critters. And this newlywed couple, she had gone up into the tree to hang her applesauce and the bear was waiting for her. It wasn't a grizzly, but just kind of waiting for her to come back down.
So he could go up and
get it. So he could cut it, yes. Or waiting for, I don't know what he was expecting to happen, but the rest of the campers managed to shoo the bear away. But a vivid memory of mine, and also waking up in the morning and seeing the bear scat around the campground.
Isn't that scary?
Yes and no. I think when you're that young and you sort of grow up with it and your folks are like, bear. I was a little bit immune. Maybe just stupid. Maybe, Jake, I was a stupid.
Maybe we were all just stupid.
A tasty morsel waiting to happen, but it just never did.
Did you guys do the thing? Do you remember the movie Parent Trap? The old 60s movies, Parent Trap, where she I think it's Haley Mills.
Yeah.
She plays like a twin. She's like, two parts. But when they're walking through the woods, they're like slapping the sticks together, trying to keep the bears away.
Yeah, you make noise. It's the bear bells. I was telling you about it. It's the same thing.
So if you don't have bear bells, and they kind of make a joke of it in this movie, like that's going to actually keep things away. But I think it would. Like any noise that you can make when you're in the woods, when you're walking around, and now Washington State, it sounds like we're going to have to be making this noise. So they're going to introduce 25 initially, and then they hope this grows to 200.
Yeah.
How do they stop it at 200? Do they start removing these bears or killing them, or what are they going to do?
There are options to do that. And again, there are plans that if the bears become a problem, if they're threatening humans, they can go in and do several steps to try to remove them or harass them away. But yes, killing them is an option. I think the idea is they believe that it will take quite a while for the population to come back.
Sounds like they said like 100 years.
100 years for them to get back to a population where they might be interacting. But, again, Congressman Newhouse and I were talking, and he says these bears may roam. They have a huge territory.
Totally.
And if they're looking for easy food, they might come down sooner than later. So we'll have to see. Little bit of an experiment here.
Here's all I know. The government never gets it right. So if they're estimating it's going to take 100 years to get 200 bears, you watch. Within 5 years, they're going to be like, well, we've got a problem, folks. We've got a bear problem. We got a lot of bears.
We know that, and we know you never mess with dinosaur DNA.
Don't mess with dinosaur DNA. Yeah. There you go. All right, that's Heather Bosch. Heather, thanks so much for coming on.
Anytime.
All right, we got a lot more coming up, so stick around. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. I hope you guys are enjoying the show. It's a very interesting conversation I just had with Heather Bosch about bears. Bears, folks, moving back in to the North Cascades. Are you afraid of bears? Well, if you're not, you might want to think about it. If you missed that conversation, you can download the podcast, obviously, and check it out there. Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim, wherever fine podcasts are sold. Quick recap. Washington State's going to be reintroducing grizzly bears into the North Cascades, into the mountains that you and I like to take our kids into. Do you think that's a good idea? I don't know. Every time I see a bear on a TV show or on a movie, it's pretty scary.
Hey, he's back, everybody!
John! Hi!
Where the hell were you?
Come on in, I'm making you a sandwich.
Big, big, woo, big.
Big? All right, we'll make a big one.
Big bear!
Big bear.
No, true. Out there.
We're glad you're home, honey.
Big bear, chase. Big bear, chase.
What did he say?
What? Big bear, chase me.
I think the only friendly bear I can think of on popular media would be Yogi Bear. I wouldn't be afraid of Yogi Bear, mostly because I don't think he's a grizzly. I feel like maybe he is a black bear. Or certainly he's fictional. So that's probably the best reason. You don't have to worry about Yogi Bear. All right, so you can check that out. Go download the podcast. Tons of great stuff tonight. So if you miss any of the earlier parts of the show, the podcast would solve that problem. You can hear that. All right, this is another story that I found fascinating. I want to bring this to you guys. The CDC just made a frightening discovery. Now, don't turn off your radios. I'm not trying to scare you. This is not something you actually need to worry about. But I guess unless you care about the future of humanity, I guess in that way, you might want to worry about it just a tiny bit. Here's what the CDC just discovered. And this is not a new plague or anything, so don't worry about that. And I'm not a fear monger. I'm not a person just trying to get clicks. I found this story fascinating because this is not a problem in my home. The CDC has discovered that the U.S. fertility rate has hit a new record low as of last year when they were looking into the data, continuing a troubling, persistent trend that will have significant consequences for American society in the future. The total fertility rate dropped to just 1.62 births per woman last year, a 2% decline from the year before. According to newly released data from the Center for Disease Control, the figure is below replacement level, meaning that Americans are not having enough children to replace themselves. Now, that's a real problem, actually. It's a development with major implications for the American economy. The total fertility rate recorded by the CDC is the lowest since the U.S. government began tracking it nearly 100 years ago. And they say that, listen, there's a couple reasons why this is happening. One, and this is a good thing, actually, underage pregnancies, they're way down from what they were back in the early 1990s when they had kind of reached a peak. So that's good news. That means that people are getting the message that you don't want to get pregnant before you are ready to have a baby. You don't want to get pregnant before you're ready to, like, start a family. That's the best time to get pregnant, in my experience. They're also seeing, though, that the reason that the birth rate is down is because women who are in their prime birthing years, and this is the more troubling part, between the ages of 18 to 35, birth rates are down across the board. Women are not having as many babies. And the reasons for that are various, and I'm not going to get into all those reasons, but they are not having as many babies. Another weird thing from personal experience, do you know what they call a woman who gets, and this is not the setup to a joke, but do you know what they call a woman who gets pregnant over the age of 35? I believe it's 35. They call it a geriatric pregnancy, which I feel like my wife brought this up to me. We were in the, because she's over 35 now, and we are now having our fourth kid. I probably shouldn't say her. I won't say her age, but she's just over 35. And so we are having our fourth baby, and we're about to have our fourth baby in just about a month and a half. And so when she was in at the very start of this, the previous pregnancies, this was not an issue. They didn't refer to it as a geriatric pregnancy. But when she went in this time, because this baby is, after she has turned 35, they refer to her as a geriatric pregnancy, which I always thought like geriatric was like super old people, right? No, that's not what it means in pregnant terms. In pregnancy terms, it just means somebody who's pregnant over the age of 35. Not super flattering. Doesn't make one feel great about why couldn't they come up with a more flattering name for it? Like a mature pregnancy or somebody with a little more insight or anything other than a geriatric pregnancy. Makes it sound like somebody's pregnant in their 80s or 90s, but that's not the case. Anyway, fertility rates are way down. People are not having as many babies. So I'm doing my part. So the average person, again, they're having 1.62 births per woman, or I don't know how you have 1.5 kids, but that's just how it works. We are on our fourth. So I'm doing my job, guys, trying to replace the human population. I can't do it on my own, though. So anybody who's listening, who's trying to start a family, I wish you luck. If you want any advice on how to get your wife pregnant, or I don't know that I'm the best person to, I mean, I could tell you from personal experience that I have been very fortunate. We've been very fertile. Feel free to text me. I'm happy to, give you some positions and stuff that might aid in your, I'm not going to get too dirty. I'm not going to talk about all that stuff though. But there's a couple things that work in your favor, and I'm happy to share what I've learned, but not too much. I'm not going to share too much personal information. All right. We got a lot more coming up. Stick around. We're going to be right back here on Chiro Nights.